Amen. We're going to welcome Pastor Sam Snyder. He is the pastor of Cross Culture Community Church in Minneapolis. And welcome.
It's great to be here. This is very unusual for me because this is now my second service of the day, as opposed to the other times when I speak here, it's the first service of the day, and we're having another service in the evening. And this time it's the other way around. We got up before you guys. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Like, we were all feeling pretty good about ourselves over there in Minneapolis. We're like, hey, we're up early, 6:30 in the morning. People were worshiping. It's pretty good. Yeah, I know. So this is unusual for me. This is the second service at 10 in the morning. So, so as Hannah said, I pastor Cross Culture Community Church, and that's our new name. Used to be Bethel Christian Fellowship Minneapolis, and we've been going for almost 10 years now. Yeah, crazy, huh? So, I get the privilege of serving alongside other pastors in the All Nations family of churches, and it's really a pleasure to be part of this family of churches and to be in this together with you guys. So we appreciate your prayer for what's going on over there, and once again, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to be here sharing with you this morning. I want to ask you if you've ever felt alone. You're like, well, yeah, right? Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt abandoned, like there's no one there? Maybe you really were abandoned and you really were all alone. Or maybe you were playing hide and seek and the people you were playing with just decided to not go seek. As a parent of 5 children, I hate to admit that there has been at least one time that I fell asleep in the hide and seek game. Daddy, let's play hide and seek. Okay, sure, you go hide. Count, Daddy. 1, 2, and it's like you're counting sheep. And you're like, asleep. Hopefully they didn't feel abandoned and all alone. Maybe, I don't know if you've ever played hide and seek with people where the game is kind of over. Most everyone was found, but there's somebody who wasn't found yet. And at some point after looking for a while, they go like, it's not even worth it. And they just go on to play something else. And that poor person's got the perfect hiding spot and they're hanging out there and they're all alone. Maybe you felt all alone at some point in your life, and it wasn't during hide and seek. Maybe you felt all alone from other people, abandoned by other people, or maybe abandoned by God and left all alone. And as we think back to the cross, burial, and resurrection, think about how the disciples felt Saturday. Abandoned, all alone. Their Messiah, the guy who held the whole band together, the rock, he was gone. And maybe you've gone through a situation where, and maybe you're going through one right now, where God actually feels really distant or even gone completely. And I want to encourage you with some scripture that we're going to be looking at today together. I'd like to invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 33, where Moses was facing a similar problem where the sin of the people was such that God was saying, I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send my angel. I'm going to keep my end of the bargain, my end of the covenant, but I myself am not going to go with you. I'll send my angel with you. And we like to do this over at Cross Culture, and I would like to invite you to stand with me as we look at this passage together. So if you're able to stand, go ahead and stand, and as we set apart this time of hearing the word together. So Moses is arguing with God, and he's saying, I don't want to go without your presence. I need your presence. I need you with me. And verse 14 of chapter 33 says, and God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do for you, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please, show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, Yahweh. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. God, we ask that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, open our hearts and our minds to understand your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and have a seat. So Moses is saying, I don't want to go without your presence. I need you with me. Sometimes my kids get that way with me. You guys, parents ever have that happen? They like cling to your leg and they're like, I need you. One of them was in the habit at one point of saying, I want you. And they like hug my leg. I'm like, I need to go. I will be right back. You know, kids go through this stage where if you're not in the room, they think you cease to exist. This is when they're really little. And you come back and they're like, whoa! It's like a magic trick. They're back. I thought you died, disappeared, gone forever. You play peekaboo with kids ever? When they're really little? They're like so surprised to see you. You just covered your eyes. And you come back and they're like, oh, it's you again. Moses was saying, I need you with me. And then God says to him, and this is where I want us to hang out. There's a place beside me where you shall stand on the rock. I don't know where you grew up, but where I grew up, there were huge rocks that were like mountains, but not as much as when I was in Mozambique. A couple months back, we were in Mozambique, and I'd never seen anything quite like this. I guess I'm supposed to be doing this, aren't I? Here we go. Or not. Yeah, I'm doing that. It's not on. You know you got to do these things? It's like technologically complicated. You got new things for me? I don't know what to do. All right, so I don't know if you can see the mountain in the background. That's a rock. It's a giant rock. And we climbed one of these rocks while we were there. And I don't know if you can see the landscape behind. And this was everywhere. These giant rocks sticking out like mountains. That is a rock. When I moved to the Midwest here, I found out that some people around here call stones that you can even fit in your pocket rocks. I was like, what? No, those are stones. That's a rock. Let's just be clear. And God said to Moses, there's a place beside me where you will stand on the rock and I will cover you with my hand. And God was covering him to protect him, because if he was exposed to the fullness of God's presence and power, it would destroy him. Because he wasn't pure. He wasn't made clean enough to stand in the presence of God. The presence of God would destroy him. But he said, but you will see a glimpse of my glory. You're going to see my back. I'm going to declare who I am, my identity in front of you. And even in that moment of encountering God, it was declaring the terms of the covenant. But you will see my back and not my face. And I think it's really interesting that this took place on the rock and in the rock for Moses. Often in the Old Testament, God is referred to as a rock or a stone. And that was a picture of strength and steadfastness, of faithfulness and protection. A rock was a place that you could climb to have a better view. If you were being attacked, you could climb up to the higher ground and you could have safety there because large numbers couldn't attack you there. If you were looking for shelter from the sun, you could hide in the shade of the rock. Rocks were constant. They didn't change from generation to generation. The same rock is still there. But this also became a messianic title, an expectation that there would be a rock and a redeemer. Those terms are connected sometimes. And that, in fact, that there would even be a stone of stumbling, that the same rock would be a stone of stumbling for many. Psalm 18 tells us, the psalmist picks up this theme. He says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. You see the protection that comes from the rock picture. Psalm 95, the psalmist says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods." We see here that the rock brought protection and peace from the enemies. That was the picture that was connected for the people of Israel when they thought of the rock. He brought protection from enemies. He brought peace so that there's no more war. There's no more being chased. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that this rock was a type of the body of Christ. It's really interesting because in 1 Corinthians 10, it says that it makes the connection to when they were in the wilderness and the rock was struck and water came forth from the rock when it was struck. And it says that rock was Christ. But it's interesting that I think it's not just referring to that moment when that rock was struck, but that the rock concept of the Old Testament is the rock Christ. Because it says that it was the rock who accompanied them. Rocks don't move. You know, they don't move around and accompany you anywhere unless it's a stone and you're carrying it in your pocket. But a rock doesn't move. The rock that accompanied them, that rock was Christ. And when this rock was hanging on the cross, his side was pierced. John 19 says, "When they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water." This blood and water showed that he was completely dead physically. And there was a symbolism of the water flowing from his side when he was struck, he was pierced. Just like the rock in the wilderness, when it was struck, water flowed. But in this case, it's a little bit different. It's not just water that flows, but it's blood that flows. Water and blood. And this taking place at the time when the lamb that was being sacrificed for the sin of the people, the blood poured out from the rock. My rock and my redeemer. The blood of the lamb being poured out for the forgiveness of sins. So now then we can see that the rock of our salvation that we see in the Old Testament kind of expands our view of that. And it's not just about protection and peace, but it's about pardon as well. In the blood of Jesus, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Because there was this protection that came to Moses. I'm breaking your toys, guys. I'm sorry. We don't have toys this cool over there at Cross Culture. Like breaking it to pieces. You need a rock, guys. So the rock, it's really interesting. We go back to the picture of Moses. Moses is hidden in the rock to protect him because in the fullness of the presence of God, the fullness of the glory of God, it comes with the fullness of the justice of God, and Moses couldn't handle it. So the only one strong enough to withstand the fullness of the weight of the kabod, the glory of God, the weight of the justice of God is God himself. So God protects him so that he can live. On the cross, Jesus, the rock, is the only one capable of withstanding the fullness of God's justice being poured out. And he takes our place. And I think it's really interesting that he takes our place and then he is hidden in a rock. Matthew 27, verse 59. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. So this was a wealthy man. He didn't just start digging in the rock. This was prepared for him. Joseph had prepared a place for himself in the rock. And Jesus was hidden in the rock, just like Moses was hidden in the rock. But Jesus was accomplishing something in this. He was hidden in the rock so that the rock could make a place for you. Joseph made a place for himself. Jesus made a place for you. Like the Father said, there's a place beside me where you can stand in the rock, and I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. With Moses, there was a place at his side for Moses to stand. Now, for us, there is a place in his side for you to stand in Christ. The first time, the place was in the physical rock to protect the life of Moses and hide God's glory. The second time, the place that was cut in the spiritual rock, which is Christ, to protect our lives through his pardon for sin and to reveal his glory. There's this hymn from 1763, Rock of Ages. You may be familiar with it. It says, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. So it's the protection and the purification for what? For his presence. It was to reveal his glory. It was to show himself in a way that he hadn't shown himself before. Even Moses, called a friend of God, couldn't see God's face. But God in Jesus wanted to do something different. And God made a permanent place for us at his side through pardon that brought us peace. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. John 1 says this, no one has ever seen God, and we got that from Moses, right? But the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. 2 Corinthians 4, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Hebrews 1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. God was showing his glory and demonstrating his goodness in Jesus, in his face. The glory of God we see in Exodus, we see that the glory of God is his goodness. Moses says, I want to see your glory, show me your glory. And God says, I will make my goodness pass before you. And in Jesus, we see the glory of God and the goodness of God together, because that's one, expressed in the face of the Son. In Jesus, God showed humanity his face. And yet we often forget that it happened. We go about our days, Easter rolls around, and then we're like, oh yeah, that happened. It's about 1,984 years ago. Or if you go with the other date, 1,982 years ago. Either way, this really happened. God really did show himself to us. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we act like Thomas, and we say, unless I see, unless I touch. But I'm pretty sure most of you in here have experienced God's glory and goodness in different ways. You've experienced pardon. You've experienced his peace. You've experienced his protection. I know people who before Christ, before surrendering their life to Christ, have experienced God's protection and God's peace. They look at that and go, wow, God was there. Do you want to surrender to him? Not sure if I'm ready for that yet. But they know he was there. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we act like Thomas in that. It's like, I want to see, I want to touch. But you know what's really cool about Thomas? You don't see him doubting after that. He had an experience with God. And that was it. That was enough for him to go and die for this Jesus who he saw. Have you experienced the glory of God? Have you experienced his presence? Because a lot of times we think about protection and we think about peace and we stop there. Or maybe we get as far as pardon and we go forgiveness. But he wants his presence. The point wasn't Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? And we get as far as Jesus, but Jesus said, I need to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. So it's not just about having a place of hiding ourselves in the rock, which is Christ, but it's in that place of being covered in the rock, standing on the rock, covered in the rock. Do you see that picture of the cleft? A place for me where I am protected and I'm covered by the rock. But in that place, I can see the face of God. But sometimes we act like babies playing peekaboo. We do the thing where we're like, oh, I forgot. You mean to tell me you don't go anywhere when we play peekaboo? Object permanence is this thing, this knowledge that kids can arrive at, and sometimes most do really well with this. But sometimes when we relate to God, we struggle with this development. That if we can't see it, it's still real. If we can't see him, he's still there. And sometimes we live in moments where it seems like Christ is in the tomb and we can't see him anymore and we can't feel his presence anymore. But that doesn't change the fact that he's still there. The beauty of it is it doesn't have to stay that way. He wants to give us his presence. He doesn't want us to wonder. But we do go through seasons where we feel like, where'd he go? And this beautiful promise, Jesus said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And that's also, you can trace that promise throughout the Bible. God's faithfulness to be with us in our circumstances, no matter what we're facing. He is faithful. You can trust that even though you can't see him, he's still there. And we have God's Holy Spirit to reveal his goodness and his glory. I would challenge you to ask God to show himself to you. We have something that Moses never had. He didn't have the opportunity to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus to make the way for the Holy Spirit to live inside of him. The Holy Spirit came upon him and he did amazing things. If that's what Moses can do with the Holy Spirit upon him, what can you do with the Holy Spirit inside of you? Right? This is like exciting stuff. I would encourage you. I tell people all the time, pray what Moses prayed. God, show me your glory. I want to know you. Ben was saying earlier that part of knowing him is the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. But still, to know you and the power of your resurrection. I want to know you. So again, Moses was hidden while the glory of God was revealed and the covenant declared. Jesus was hidden so that the glory of God could be revealed and the new covenant demonstrated. The revelation of his glory and the demonstration of his presence are for us now. And there is a place for you on the rock. There is a place for you in the rock. And there needs to be a place for the rock in you. Have you made a place in you for God to be, to call his habitation? 1 Peter says that Christ is the chief cornerstone. Paul says that he's the foundation, and that all of us, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to host his presence. Do you have space in your life to host his presence? Are you connected to others and hosting his presence together? We can be like Moses in this case, that we don't have to wonder whether or not his presence is with us. When God said his presence would go with them, there was fire over their head. And the beauty is, you see, when the New Testament church was born, Acts chapter 2, fire came over their head, but it didn't stay over their head. It was to come inside of them. To know that his presence is with you. You don't have to wonder anymore. ask him to show himself, and he will. So we do have to hang on to the truth like kind of the peekaboo. He already did show himself in Jesus, and we have lots about that in Scripture. But he wants to show himself to you through the Holy Spirit. Once you've received that pardon for sin and that peace that endureth, he wants his Spirit to fill you, that you can know that his presence goes with you. And you can go wherever he tells you to go, and you can go with confidence and power because his presence goes with you. And I don't know if you've ever felt, you've felt alone, he's with you. Maybe you felt like there's no place for you and you don't fit in. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ made a place for you. When the spear pierced his side, it was enough space for you. You know, the blood and the water that poured out in that moment was enough for you too. Like God said to Moses, there's a place beside me on the rock where you will stand. That stands for you too. There's a place on the rock for you to stand. But you got to go up on the rock. The people of Israel, they heard the voice from the mountain. God's plan was for the people of Israel to be a nation of priests. That's what it says. But they heard the voice on the mountain. They saw the lightning and they said, no thanks, that's scary. I might die. You know, when the presence of God shows up, you kind of have that experience. I might die. And they said, Moses, you go. Wasn't that nice? Nice of them? Like, hey, that seems really dangerous. Why don't you do it? I don't want to do that. So they sent Moses instead. First Peter says that his plan still is to have a nation of priests. People who stand in the presence of God on behalf of other people and who stand in the presence of other people on behalf of God. Because we've got the presence of God in us. That's for us today. So if you've wondered, hey, I don't know if I have a place. I don't know if I can really belong. I don't know if Jesus really loves me. His side was pierced for you. And the water that poured out, that reminds us of the Holy Spirit, where Jesus said, out of your innermost parts will flow rivers of living water. And it reminds us of his forgiveness, his pardon for sin. I think it's really interesting that we're now called the body of Christ. And if we are in him, we are also called to make a place for others to experience. A place was made for you. You're called to make a place for others to experience God's pardon, his protection, his peace, and his presence that are found when God reveals his glory and goodness in the body of Christ. There's something special when the church comes together. But are we making space for others to experience that? Are we inviting? Are we opening up the door and letting people in? Are we taking, and this, the beauty of this, in this case, the rock can move. When we go out, we go with the presence of God. Are we taking the presence of God into the places that we go? So, to wrap this up, sometimes we can't see God even though he's right beside us. And he wants to be in us. That doesn't change the fact that he's still the rock even when we can't see him. We're still hidden in him even when we forget. Those of you with glasses, you ever walk around with the glasses on your head? Wondering where your glasses are? You're like, they're lost, lost! And they're on your head. We're kind of like that with God sometimes. Where are you? Where are you? Like, I'm right here. We got to pay attention to him. Look for him in the small things, above the noise. How much different would our lives be if we remembered the Lord our rock, the rock of our salvation? Like if we didn't forget as soon as something happened that made it seem like his face was gone. And in that moment when we can't see him, we remember he's still there. He's still good. How much different would our lives be if we remembered his protection and stopped fretting? Stop being afraid, stop stressing, stop being anxious, because we know my rock will protect me. I'm going to walk in peace. How much different would your life be if you walked in the pardon and forgiveness, not just receiving his forgiveness, but giving it to other people? How much different would your life be if you walked in the fullness of the presence of God? None of us are there yet. But every day, to go with Paul to say that we want to know him, that would be our heart's cry in the morning, God, I want to know you. Show yourself to me, reveal yourself to me. I want to know you more today than I knew you yesterday. That we could figuratively or even physically, literally, have our faces shining like Moses when he came down the mountain? What would our lives be like if we experienced God's goodness and glory every day? Have you made a place for him? You're like, I don't know, Sam, that's very figurative. I don't know what you mean. Like in your calendar, have you scheduled it in? A place for him. In the busyness of your heart, have you opened up space for him? Do you have margin for his presence? Do you trust him even when you don't see him? And finally, do you make a place for others? Pastor Justin was saying that we exist for those who are not here yet. Like, we're now part of that rock, which is the body of Christ. And we're called to make a place for others to experience what we've experienced. So I'd like to close, and they're going to close us with some songs that bring us back to this place. But if today you haven't ever entrusted yourself to the rock where you could say, he's the rock of my salvation. Not just, he's a rock of salvation. Some people say, yeah, I've heard people tell me, I love Jesus. I've heard Muslims say, I love Jesus. But that's not loving him and thinking he's really cool isn't the same as him being the Lord of your life. It's not the same as being the one that you're trusting, the one whom you're hiding yourself in for the pardon for sin. It's not the same as having his presence inside of you. So if today you haven't ever put your trust in him and hidden yourself in him so that your sin is forgiven, I want to invite you to do that. You probably know somebody who knows Jesus, who you would look at and you'd say, they've hidden themselves in Jesus. Go talk to them and pray with them. Today, don't wait. Maybe you've been going through life, and I just talked to somebody the other day, and they said, so Christian for their whole life, following Jesus their whole life, they said, full of joy, and it's like their face was shining, and they said, I have a prayer life now. Like, isn't that amazing that you could go through years, decades as a Christian and not have a prayer life? It wasn't just for, I'm now hidden in the rock and I'm forgiven, but it was for the presence of God to be in you, in me. If you're not there and you're not where you would say, I have an active relationship with God and I know his revelation of his glory and his presence, I want to invite you to take one step today. Look at your calendar, say, this time I'm meeting with Jesus. I'm meeting with my rock and my redeemer. This time of this day, I'm carving out time in my schedule to be with him. As I go through my day, I'm going to carve out time throughout the day in this way. Take a step today. And if today you are going through something really difficult and it feels like Jesus isn't there and like you've been abandoned, I want to encourage you. I want to remind you he's still there.
Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Let the teaching fall like rain and the words descend like dew, like showers on grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways just. A faithful God who has done no wrong. Upright and just he is. He is the rock. God, I pray that you would hide us in the rock. Lord, that we would see your face, reflect your face to the world around us, to the Lord, that we would reflect your glory. Lord, that we would be people that would be found in the rock. Would be a church found in the rock. Standing on the rock. Lord Jesus, we pray for everyone in this room. Pray your blessing. Lord Jesus, that you would give us a fresh revelation of your resurrection. Fresh revelation of your death, your burial, your resurrection, your ascension, your coming to us. You sending your Holy Spirit to work through us. Lord, that we would be ones that walk in the power of the resurrection. Lord, I pray that we would walk in that, Jesus. Pray we walk in that this week. We'd walk in the power of your resurrection. I pray your blessing on every family. I pray your blessing on every individual. I pray your blessing on relationships. I pray your blessing on everybody represented in this room, God. Every nation represented in this room. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand on the rock this week. Stand on the rock. Amen. He's risen. Go in his goodness.